I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
You have a vision for your business. Your priority might be to
expand facilities
or
bring in the best talent.
At Century Insurance, we listen, learn, and work to understand your business and your plans to help protect your
new locations.
As your business evolves and your vision comes true, Century. Right by you. Property and casualty coverages and underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary. For a limited time only.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 13th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Michael King, BB King remastered. That is, he had a lot of walks early in the season, and now he has few. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 12 strikeouts. Golden gold, 19 whiffs, and 39% CSW. It's everything that we wanted him to be. Essentially, he had that really weird start against Rocky Road, and since then, he's just been the guy that he should be. Honestly, he was that guy for 2 starts before it, and then it was just a weird regression. Michael King is Michael King. He is the Holly that was promised, and you should not treat him as anything else. He is a command-focused guy. Yes, this was the Mariners, but he's very good at going opposite sides of the plate. He has a sinkers coming back door to right. He's also inside of them. Sweep is going off the plate. Changeups being on the arm side. It's all there. It's good. Bryce Miller on the other side of a 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. Arguably better because he did go deeper in the game with a better whip, just fewer strikeouts. Thing is, Bryce Miller, only throw 4 seamers. Yes, he did have 8 for 11 slider strikes, sweeper, splitter, cutter combined for 10 for 23 strikes. Look, blame it on the White Sox. Bryce Miller's still good. You want him on your teams and everything like that, but he can't be an ace in my view until he actually figures out what the heck is going on with the secondaries. It's just that simple to me. And also, I should mention, the fastball's getting strikes. That's cool, but it's not like well spotted. I watch Miller. He's not really surgically taking down batters. Okay, cool. Cain Povich. I have a lot to say here. 6 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks. But I can just say at the end, no, you should not hold on to Cain Povich because the Orioles are probably bringing back Dean Kramer next week. Or if they not, it's not a good matchup for him. And then it's really, there's too many mouths to feed. I mean, it's the Yankees in that one. If we do see Cain Povich, I don't want to start him for that. And I got to think that Dean Kramer is back after that. So Cain Povich, I think you're good like as a Toby, but not as a potential Holly or a potential ace. Your fastball is not that good. Curveball had a 52% CSW. It was actually pretty interesting to see so many of them. I don't know if that's really going to be the thing. It looks a lot like Max Fried. I know his players or his teammates were actually calling him like a mini Max Fried. I see it, the resemblance. However, I think that Max Fried is a better fastball. I think he's a better changeup. I think he's better command. And I don't really want to go after this that much. Alex Fast was texting me like, oh my gosh, you got to watch K. Povich. I watch every pitch. He had two really nice sweepers against the same batter. I believe it was Michael Harris. They were lovely, great, but like those are the only two whiffs he got on a sweeper the entire game. So yeah, I don't know. It's K. Povich is fine. He's fine. If he does command super well, he is a Toby and all that kind of stuff. But again, right now is not the time to roster K. Povich. Chris Bassitt against the Brewers, 5 innings, 0 runs, 9 base runners is unfortunate because he just didn't throw enough strikes and 5 strikeouts, but yeah, everything's fine. Jose Soriano went 8 innings for a win, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Man, he should have been my stream pick. Damn, I was so close to do that. 50% CSW on the curve. Look, he finally had a 2 earned run game, by the way. It's the first one. Very first one for Jose Soriano. It was either the 0 or 1 or 4 throughout the year. I think it was a touch of careful Icarus to get that second one, too. Now it's Milwaukee and the Dodgers. You can actually drop Jose Soriano. What? He's so good for me. I don't care. Jose Soriano is a bit of a cherry bomb, honestly, with him having sinkers for strikes or not. And Milwaukee and the Dodgers are not matchups you want. You do not need to hold on to Jose Soriano for 14 days. You have Sonny Gray against the Pirates. That's aces going to ace. 7 innings, 1 run, and 9 strikeouts. And I know there was some worry about his control and all of this. Yeah, he looked great. So we're good. Jonathan Cannon, I can't tell you enough here. Oh my gosh. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts for the Gold Star. Yes, it was against the Mariners. As I mentioned, Bryce Miller on the other side before, I'm being stupid. This is against the Mariners here. And I'm an idiot. I said before, blaming on the Mariners for Michael King. I'm sorry. That was blaming on the Athletics. A little different. Same idea. Okay, cool. Anyway, Jonathan Cannon went against the Mariners. This had a little bit of a blaming on the Mariners. There you go. 10 for 47 whiffs on his cutter and sweeper, which is really nice. Honestly, I think of Jonathan Canning more as a sinker guy and then hoping to get enough done with the sweeper and cutter, but this was actually pretty cool. Changeup did go 67% strikes, had a couple whiffs on it as well. He had a good four-seamer, well-spot sinker. Like, it all kind of came together. I understand how this does work for Jonathan Cannon. The thing is, I don't think anything is actually that elite with Cannon. So, throw in the fact that he's on the White Sox, where he went 7 innings, 1 run, and didn't get a win. What do you know? I mean, Bryce Miller, sure, but this is the point here. He does get the Astros next. You wouldn't go for that. And if he does survive long enough, Jonathan Canning would get the Tigers. And that actually might be a decent stream. So, understandable, you know, success could come for Cannon in like your 15 teamers. I don't think you need to go after it this weekend. And that should be a good note. There is no Plus Pitch podcast tomorrow, and the SP Fab forecast is going to be on Sunday. I'm going to be away in San Diego for Miles Nelson's wedding, actually. And that's going to be 2 days off for me. So I will be doing the roundup in the streamers. Don't worry, but I just am not bringing a microphone and I don't really have much time. So I will be returning, of course, to the Plus Pitch podcast on Monday, and the SP Fab forecast will be out on Sunday as I'm flying back on Saturday. Okay, cool. Anyway, Jonathan Cannon, I don't feel like you need to go after him right now. It is the Astros next, but I understand how this worked. Jake Irvin, what a guy. I went against the Tigers, 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He just keeps going on this Vargas roll. I mean, yes, this was the Tigers. He gets Arizona next. We're just going to keep doing it. The curveball, 15 called strikes on 35 thrown. That is unbelievable. Absolutely bunkers. Yeah, that's really, really cool. So, good stuff there from Jake Irvin. It's about a 45% called strike rate. Like, what, 43, 44? I'm doing quick math in my head. Pretty cool. Tobias Myers against the Jays actually came through again. 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. A lot of the same. Here's a lot of strikes. Do something with these strikes. This is what he did last time to go, what, 8 innings or so? This is now 6 against the Jays, got the win. Is he actually this good? I don't think so. It was, again, just balls finding gloves. It requires him to throw strikes again to do this, and it's the Angels being a major league team still. Like, I don't think that Tobias Myers is actually throwing such good things. The changeup wasn't cooking as I want. The command actually wasn't really that good. It just happened to be strikes. I know, it's so funny. Like, I was curious about Tobias Myers, and I was like, oh man, that four seam looks really good, and all this stuff is there, blah, blah, blah. And then he has 2 really good starts. I'm like, no, he's not very good. I hate this. I hate this feeling. I just want to celebrate when they do well, and then I see them do well, but they don't deserve it. And it's just baseball. Why do you do this? Okay. Tobias Myers, maybe that does work against the Angels. Not a terrible dart throw, but I don't feel like you need to go off and get this. Aaron Civale did improve against the Cubs, but he's not quite there yet. 5.2 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. 39% CSW on the curve, but about 20% usage, not like the 30% plus. The cutter did earn strikes and outs. He had high sweepers in there, and that's not where he's trying to do it. But he was at least productive with curves and cutters. I don't know. I don't really feel like he's locked in. He gets the Twins next. That's fine, but like, I don't feel as if, oh man, this is the Aaron Civale that we were promised in the preseason. John Gray against the Dodgers. He returned to the rotation as he didn't show up in relief before. He was penciled in for this one, actually did make the start. He was 65 pitches against the Dodgers, 3 innings and 1 run. Not bad, but he was up in velocity. We're talking like 96 miles per hour, not like 94, 95 as we normally see. He gets the Mets next. John Gray should be fine there for about 80 pitches. Nick Lodolo against the Guardians got the win. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Not the best whip there. He got the win. That's cool. Curveballs were fine, but they aren't overwhelming. And this is really his four-seamer just getting outs, which I don't really know if I love, but it's against the Pirates, so we're going to go with that. I just don't love the long-term outlook for Nick Lodolo. We have other guys to talk about. Cody Petit, Spencer Schwellenbach, Hogan Harris, Pablo Lopez, Walker Buehler, and so many others. We're going to talk about all of them and, of course, tomorrow's starters after this break.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP439267V1.
You see where your business can go. To get there, you may need
another 10 trucks.
At Century Insurance, we put more than 115 years of industry experience to work to help protect you as you
launch a new delivery service
or
expand into a new region
and reach your business goals. Century, right by you. Property and casualty coverages are underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Spencer Schwellenbach went against the Orioles opposite of Cade Povich. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks in. He had the much tougher matchup because Cade Povich got Atlanta, and they've been pretty bad. Okay, I actually would probably put them in middle of offensive tiers, if not weak, honestly, because they've been just so bad. While the Orioles are super hot, and Mr. Crescendo over here, Schwellenbach, looked like a Toby. He had curves, cutters, sliders, changeups, 96 mile per hour heater. He's got the whole kitchen sink. And honestly, he generally commands them well. I think there is something decent here. I think he's the best of the lot. I talked about this with Ian Osaris on The Craft. You can check it out this morning. It's such a fun episode because it's me and Ian talking about pitching. It's the best. It's so fun. Go check it out. But long story short, between Waldrip, Schwellenbach, and AJ Smith-Shawver, I believe most in Schwellenbach. Ian doesn't really believe in any of them, and I understand why. But I really do see like a kitchen sink here for Schwellenbach, and he gets the Tigers up next. That's pretty cool if he does stick in the rotation. I think he should. I think Atlanta's trying to figure out who their number five is. And after a start like this, I feel like Schwellenbach has earned his keep. Cody Petit certainly has with a win against the Royals. 5.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. I cannot believe the Yankees have 49 wins right now and Gerrit Cole hasn't pitched a single inning. It's absolutely bonkers. And he's going to be coming back. Maybe next week, maybe a week after. Regardless, you don't want Cody Petit. Why? Because he gets the Orioles. And then it's going to be Gerrit Cole returning. Or he just doesn't at all. Yeah, he's a Toby in the future. If Clark Schmidt needs a lot more time and there's something going on inside of the Yankee rotation, hopefully not, but that would be Stroman, Cortez, Rodon, Heel, Cole, one of those stepping back or needing a moment of rest, you probably will see Cody Petit. And maybe he becomes Toby then because he is up to 88 pitches now. But really, he's fine. I wrote about him as the lead in the last SP roundup over the weekend. Hogan Harris against the Padres, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. That's 3 straight games of good stuff from Hogan Harris and 3 straight games of a trend down for his IVB on his fastball. It's about 17 inches plus, then 16 inches plus, and now we're down to about 15 inches. No! I had a feeling, honestly, because Hogan Harris showed up in the same way last year. I didn't realize it before. I didn't have the data, but I actually went back and looked at it because guess what? Our game logs have previous seasons. Hey, seriously, go check it out. You can actually go back to previous seasons. You can see the SP roundups I wrote, and you get the stuff's metrics for individual games. It's really cool. So Hogan Harris did the same thing. He had 17 inches of vert, then he had 16, then he had 15. And I'm not too thrilled about this. So it's a worse heater, only 6 for 17 curveball strikes. He got through this. That's nice. I don't know. I feel like we just cash this in and move on. Don't push it with Hogan Harris. Maybe he does get the four-seam revert back, but I'm not a big fan. Walker Buehler against Texas. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. This is interesting because I've been saying that Walker Buehler looks lost, and I still think he is lost. However, he had a plan, and that's cool. Like, Walker Buehler at least saying, hey, look, I'm going to try something, and then actually executing that thing should be praised. The question is, okay, is that the right thing or not? I don't think it is. So I actually saw in the comments of this SP roundup, and by the way, I don't answer WordPress comments. I apologize. It's one of those things of I am so accessible across Discord and Twitter, and really the way that I interact the most with everybody is through my morning stream, the office hours I call them, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every single weekday morning. Won't be tomorrow. I'll be in San Diego, but every other weekday morning. And I don't really go back to WordPress comments like I used to just because I don't have the time that I did before. If you want to reach out to me, that is how you do it in the morning. And it's also much more of a nuanced conversation. I can actually talk to you as opposed to trying to get the tone and everything summed up in about like 10 words or whatever it is, right? Anyway, with Walker Buehler, they said, look, I think they're going away from the four-seamer because he has a 400 batting average allowed. And I understand that. You're getting bad results on a pitch. You don't want to throw it. This is what I say. Walker Buehler yesterday went sinkers down and away and essentially down and arm side. Down and in to righties, and then cutters up and into lefties. I love the cutter. I think that's a really good approach, and actually threw four seamers up and in to lefties as well. What the action might be quoting 400 batting average on the four seamer. There were 5 thrown and 2 hits allowed. One of them was a really bad one. One of them was Corey Seager being Corey Seager, and he actually got 2 whiffs on the others. I think that the four-seamer is a legitimate pitch. Actually, if you look at our new today's four-seamers app that you have, if you have PL Pro, and it's live data that comes in, you can actually see the performance of these four-seamers. Eno Saris is using this. Like, this is legit, guys, okay? This isn't just some random thing. Like, when you have guys like Eno that are using these things that we make, like, you know that it's super, super helpful. Anyway, you have Walker Buehler's four-seamer looking like it should be a stud pitch. He just doesn't use it right. And I don't really think that down and in sinkers are the way to go for Walker Buehler against righties. I think the four-seamer should be this overwhelming pitch upstairs constantly. I also think that there's more room to grow with the slider and the curve and the change. So I like the fact that he executed this plan of sinkers down and in, cutters up and away to lefties as well. And then also to righties, he had the cutter and slider away, down and away. He had them had some other secondaries too to lefties. I think that's cool to see, but Walker Buehler isn't quite there yet, right? Like, this is not the correct plan, but he had a plan and he executed that, and that's worthy of praise. Pablo Lopez against the Rockies got the win. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. So I think he's taking steps forward. I still think he's off. His heater was a little slower, 93-94, not 94-95. We saw a 47% CSW changeup. That's cool, but I guess I'm looking for that game where the changeup really just says, look, this is, I've got it. Deal with my changeup today. And it wasn't quite that. I want to see more from Pablo. I think he does too. I think there's a lot of wonkiness with four-seamer command as well. There's like, essentially, it's just the feel isn't quite back yet. And I think Rocky Road certainly helped him here. But steps, not leaps, right? Little bit. It's not just going to necessarily be one game. It might just be one game. We'll see. I think very much we should be buying low on Pablo Lopez because I feel over time he is going to get there. Javier Assad against the Rays. He has been a Vargas rule for this year, but I feel like it's just been so blah over the past couple weeks, and I think we all understand that this is fading. 4.2 innings of 2 earned runs isn't inherently bad, but it's just still 4.2 innings and 90 pitches. 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. He's really a Toby. Okay, stream like a Toby, and we're cool. Logan Webb, aces going to ace against the Astros, got the win. It's a quality start, poor quality start, I should say. 7 hits and 0 walks in 5 Ks. This is actually like the Framber Valdez, really Bailey special. But 6 innings of 3 runs and 7 hits, that's like a 117 whip. I have many memes that I've made in my day, and I have a folder of them. And one of my favorite is from the Babadook, like, why can't you just be normal? And then it's Framber Valdez screaming in 117 whip. And speaking of Framber Valdez, oh my gosh, you had a complete game. 9 innings, it was glorious. And what is this after this? After that game, it's against the Giants, what do you do? 4 innings of 5 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 1K. Are you just a cherry bomb? Should I just shove Framber Valdez in the cherry bomb tier? No, right? Like, he's going to be more helpful than hurtful. It's just... ugh! That's all. That's all. That's all it is. Okay, Bailey Falter against the Cardinals, 4 innings of 300 runs. Look, I still believe in my heart, that Bailey Falter will be a Ray. I understand that they might be getting Springs back and Rasmussen back and maybe McClanahan by the end of it, so they don't really need to do it, but I feel like he should be a Ray, just saying. Someone's going to deal for Bailey Falter and turn him into something because he has such good extension on that four-seamer. I think there's also good vert on it, and like that could kind of turn into something. I don't know. Just get him out of Pittsburgh. Reese Olson against the Nationals, very disappointing. 5.1 innings of 4 runs, 10 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Here's the thing, though, guys. That's 3 starts for Reese Olson. We're like, oh my gosh, he's not good. He's not good. He's not good. Except his 2 pitches that matter. Changeup and slider. He allowed 10 hits, only 2 hits on those 2 pitches, and those were thrown a ton. The four-seamer and sinker and curve are what got him. Like, what? How did that happen? Olson, those aren't the pitches that you're supposed to get beat on, right? And that's the way I see this, is Reese Olson still has his 2 best skills, changeup and slider, and I feel like he's just going to lean into them more and not really lean on that four-seamer as much. So that's how I see it. He gets Atlanta. And honestly, that's kind of fine. And then you also get the White Sox after. So I would say stick with Reese Olson. Buy low here. If he's on your waiver wire, I'd be going out and getting Reese Olson. I feel like he's going to be turning this around. Tanner Bibee against the Reds. 5.1 innings of 4 runs. Ugh. But 5 base runners and 11 strikeouts? What? Okay, so clearly his 4-seamer. Oh, no. No. The arm angle has gone higher again, and it's steeper. And actually, that was the weird one. It wasn't really that well spotted. No, this was the changeup being ridiculous at a 45% CSW, and the slider was really on point glove side. Now, the changeup was kind of more the floaty one that I really hate, but the fact, maybe there's something to this about the chaos of changeups, and I remember talking to, you know, of course, in the craft again, about like players keyholing certain places, like the Blake Snell blueprint, for example. If you have too much of a separation, then they're just going to say, cool, low is a secondary and high is a fastball. And if you have a changeup, it's just kind of around. It's how Lucas Giolito succeeded with his changeup back in the day. Like, he wasn't always down. He was just kind of there. And maybe there was something to that that I've been overlooking with Tanner Bibee. I do feel that that four-seamer does get hit too much, though. It's just, yeah. Anyway, David Peterson against the Marlins got the win, but everything else was terrible, and I don't want this. This is a very dusty donut. 5 innings, 4 runs, 10 base runners, and just 1 strike, and how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? 0 out of 14 slider whiffs is the entire story. Not for me. Braxton Garrett against the Mets on the other side. 4.2 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks, and it's just, look, sinkers and sliders, cutter and changeup are the things that got me really excited about Braxton Garrett during a lovely stretch last year. Really good command of that sinker and slider upstairs and in, kind of like Brandon Williamson. No, it's not there. It's just not there. So it's I think this is a conversation, guys, to have in the offseason, right? It's, I see this constantly with Toby types. And for those that are in 15 teamers, and look, there for every Ranger Suarez that actually like comes together and does all the stuff, there are your Braxton Garretts. There are your Aaron Civales. These are guys, and even I want to say Tyler Anderson from 2022 to 2023. A lot of these Toby types have these runs during the year where they're like 6 weeks or something like that, where they just completely are in the groove with everything. And it's generally not a plateau, right? And when you have a Toby type, you don't go after it in your drafts. Like, there's this idea that they become this, oh man, no, now he's a stable 23% to 25% strikeout rate guy. Now he's going to get me 180 innings and he's going to get me 10, 12 wins or something like that. cannot emphasize enough how even in your 15 teamers, you don't need to go for that. You will find something on the wire that will be that kind of arm. You really will. I mean, even looking at this year, Eric Fede going way after a lot of these guys has kind of turned into that kind of thing, right? I mean, I tried to start making a list of all of the pickups that we've had this year that are just, you know, ridiculous. I mean, you could say like Luis Hill, you could say Jared Jones, sure. But there's also like your Javier Saad worked out, your, I don't know, Mackenzie Gore worked out, Garrett Crochet worked out. Even from yesterday, I mean, you can even argue that like Hogan Harris has worked out in the short term. There's Spencer Schwellenbach now looking like something. There's Jake Irvin, Jose Soriano, right? Kay Povich showing up. Like, there are so many of these, and I just gotta say, like, do not get too enamored by a guy that needs multiple pitches without anything that's truly elite for a certain run of a year to then consider them for like the whole of the season's statistics, right? Okay, we're on the same page. Awesome. Nick Pivetta. Hey, Nick, that's a guy who had a really good run and everything. Yes, but not a Toby. He had elite vert on his four-seamer and big whiff pitches and a new whirlybird sweeper, and he tried to do it against the Phillies, and nope, four innings, four in runs, six hits, four walks, four guys. Okay, fine. It was against the Phillies. Four-seamer was not looking good. The curve and the sweeper returned just 4 out of 41 whiffs. Oh, my gosh. He gets the Jays next. That should be better. This is a case of where we've been seeing a trend, and he survived without it, and I do worry. Like, I think more times than not, when I start to see a guy remove one of the pitches that has made him a thing, we start to see some trouble at some point with it. Nick Pivetta here without the cutter. We've seen Yusei Kikuchi without the slider. It often goes like this. So they usually come out of it, but yeah, not too surprising, I guess, because he hasn't had that cutter working for him. Christopher Sanchez against the Red Sox. It's kind of annoying. The changeup sometimes disappears and whatever, so it wasn't a good start. We're just going to keep going with Christopher Sanchez. We had the Royals open with Dan Altavilla and then Daniel Lynch go for 6 earned runs and 6.2 innings against the Yankees. Like, both of them allowed combined 11 earned runs. Yep, no thanks. Slay Sassoni did poorly against the Angels because it's Slay Sassoni. And then you have Austin Gomber getting Gombered, and honestly, you really shouldn't have gone after Gomber after the elbow pain thing. That was just completely moving on after that. All right, looking forward to tomorrow's games. As far as updates today, I should mention that Patrick Corbin and Michael Grove are going, not Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Mackenzie Gore, not respectively there, because they wanted to just shuffle up the rotation a little bit for the Dodgers, is the verb I saw. And of course, but Mackenzie Gore is dealing with a small, very small, fingernail issue. All right, we have for tomorrow's start, so we still have Mackenzie Gore. It's just a small thing, they want to give him an extra day. We have Tarek Skubal, Chris Sale, Luis Hill, Mackenzie Gore, Cole Reagans. He gets the Dodgers, unfortunately. Ranger Suarez, Freddy Peralta, Kyle Bradish, and George Kirby as your auto start tiers. Bradish and Kirby have tough matchups. This is the ace is going to ace game for both of them. Bradish gets the Phils, and George Kirby gets the Rangers. This is your final boss. Please come through, guys. Probable start to you have Kevin Gausman, unfortunately, as a probable start against the Guardians, but he just did so well against a bad team. This is a much better team. He has home run issues. We know who he is, and it's just kind of like where he's going to be a lot of the time, I think, now. Gavin Stone against the Royals. Matt Waldron against the Mets. Gavin Stone, by the way, survived the Yankees, so we're cool there. Matt Waldron has his knuckleball. Tyler Anderson against the Giants. That should be a solid play, and if you have him, I would be absolutely going for it. Andrew Heaney against the Mariners. That's a stream pick. 10% roster is shocking to me. I think you should be focusing on Andrew Heaney a little bit more. Hunter Green against the Brewers. I think if you have Hunter Green, you're going to do this. And Hunter Brown's underneath him against a much better matchup of the Tigers, but I do not trust what Hunter Brown is doing right now. Semien Woods-Richardson against the Athletics. Fine. That's a good matchup. Actually, same with Zach Littell against Atlanta. That is a good matchup because Atlanta has been terrible. You have also Kyle Gibson at the very bottom of this against the Cubs because the sweeper's been really good, and I'm giving him credit for it now. Questionable starts here tomorrow. You have Max Meyer possibly getting the call for the Marlins. I don't know. It makes all the sense that he would come up now against the Nationals. If he does, it's a questionable start. I think the slider is good, but there's also the little wonkiness of like, hey, you're back to the majors. How is your command? Sean Manaea against the Padres. That's fine. It's Sean Manaea. He should be okay. It's not really anything I'm going to jump for. It could be like 5 innings of bad ratio. So just, it's fine. Mitch Spence against the Twins. He does have a slider and a cutter that are kind of hard to hit, but If he doesn't locate it that well, then it's just not really that many strikeouts. Spencer Howard is going to take a chance against the Angels. I don't really think he's doing all that much special, but the Angels are whatever, fine. And then you have Jordan Wicks. I think he's making a proper start, but I don't know how long he's going to go. It's against the Angels. I'm a little curious about that. Initially had Wicks a little bit higher, and I moved him down, but maybe that does work out for Jordan Wicks, especially if he has a third pitch that works that is a slider slash cutter. It is four seamers upstairs, a good vert, and changeups down, but I think he really needs to unlock the third pitch properly to be a proper starter. And also, of course, this is his first real start since returning from the IL, as he was picking back in with Ben Brown over the weekend. And they do not start too. You have Chris Flexen, even though he's done kind of well lately. It is the Diamondbacks, and also Chris Flexen, I don't think, has the highest ceiling, so I don't really feel like you should go for that. Ryan Nelson against the White Sox just has not been doing well regardless of the matchup. Logan Allen against the Jays. Don't really like what Logan Allen brings to the table. Luis Ortiz against the Rockies. He is going sinker, cutter, slider now, and maybe that works. Probably not. And then Cooper Criswell against the Yankees, absolutely not. And Ryan Feldner against Pittsburgh, that is not a start. All right, that is it for today. I'll be back on Monday because, again, no Plus Pitch podcast tomorrow. I'll be away. And, of course, SB Fab forecast will be on Sunday this week, not Friday. So better for you. But yeah, I it's going to be a little bit later this week because, of course, I am away for the next 2 days. And of course, I'll be back on the stream at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And of course, then full day for the list on Monday. So check that out. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go. Go.
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
You have a vision for your business. Your priority might be to
expand facilities
or
bring in the best talent.
At Century Insurance, we listen, learn, and work to understand your business and your plans to help protect your
new locations.
As your business evolves and your vision comes true, Century. Right by you. Property and casualty coverages and underwritten and safety services are provided by a member of the Century Insurance Group, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. For a complete listing of companies, visit century.com. Policies, coverages, benefits, and discounts are not available in all states. See policy for complete coverage details.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.